the wrong within yourself. Saintly person who became saintly afterwards, right? So he thought to himself, you know, I had enough of my free life. Now that I had enough of my free life, I need to correct myself, keep myself online. Because I had one chapter where I was free, I was doing things, freelancing, running around, doing things, talking, saying things randomly, I was doing things, right? But I was not shackled. Right? I was not in chains. I was not shackled. I was just doing things randomly. When I was doing things randomly, so I don't know whether I was on the course or out of the course. Genuinely, I have slipped some places. Some places I have scored, but I'm sure that I slipped in some areas. Now, for me to be sure, I need to have someone to supervise me, to keep a check on me. Like how you have a business, so you have an audit, you have someone checking up, you have a CCTV, you have something going on to check that this is going on in the right line or is going off. And if you don't have any checks and balances, then it's a problem. In any business, any operation, you must have a check and balance. Right? And there can't be a greater business than the business of the hereafter. Hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min azabin aleem. So Allah Ta'ala declares this as a business. Because it's such a business that either you fail or you win. Yawma yajma'ukum liyawmil jam'i, dhalika yawmul taghabun. Qiyamah has got a lot of names, right? One is yawmul hasra, a day of agony and grief. Because the one that is going to get into grief and agony, that grief and agony will be perpetual. There's not going to be any reverse. Right? And the mu'min that gets into Jannah, he may go through some patch of grief. Because he will see the rewards now on the day of Qiyamah. Alright, this person, he's escalated to this level, right? To the higher level. You know, I could have just worked a little bit more. I could have been grouped with him. But I just messed it up. I missed out. And I just made a little bit more effort. I could have been escalated to his level. Now I can't get a second chance. So for the short duration, it can be a means of remorse for him. As he says that when there is a gathering where the name of Allah Ta'ala or his Nabi Sallam is not taken, كَانَتْ لَهُمْ تَرِيْتَةٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That will be a means of regrets for that person. You sat in a gathering, but you didn't take the name of Allah Ta'ala, didn't remember the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in that gathering, then that can turn out to be a regret, a remorse for you on the day of Qiyamah. So, that mu'min also can go through some type of regret, some type of remorse. When he sees people and how they're getting rewarded, he's getting blessed and he's getting rewarded like this. A lot of times, you get more women asking this question. You get some men also asking the question, but more women asking the question that, you know, I'm married to so-and-so, but really I love this person here, and can I get that person in Jannat? So see how the mind's all mixed up. Eh? I'm married here, but I have a love for this person. I have an affinity for this person here. So can I get the person in Jannat? The question is a little bit complicated, right? But if you get your mind straight, there's no complication. Right. On the one hand, we say that you will get everything that you desire in Jannat, right? When I say, for example, that girl was married to this person here, and you are desirous of her. Right? So now, both are desirous of the same person hereafter. They can't be split. The person cannot be split, divided between two. It can't be. So, I just give an answer, you know, more or less the principle, how it works. By work for Jannat, once you're there, you'll get what you desire for. In other words, once you're out there in Jannat, then you won't feel for anything more than what you have got. What you got in Jannat, if you know, I'm relaxed, I'm comfortable, I don't have any more need. So Allah Ta'ala will turn the minds in Jannat. Here the mind is working different, and there the mind works different. Right. Like you see an animal, right? It's grazing, it's happy, it's comfortable. Right? Don't you see it's happy and comfortable? Right? There's another animal on the other side, that thing is comfortable in its pasture. This one is comfortable in that part, in its pasture. This thing is not thinking, you know, had I been there, it would have been better for me. And that one is comfortable on that side. It doesn't think, if had I been on this side, then it would have been better for me. So Allah Ta'ala has designed its mind like this, and that one's mind like that. So in whichever position you are in Jannah, you will be relaxed and comfortable. You won't have that idea, you know, had I only been like this, or with this person, that would have been the fulfillment of my dreams. The dream story only comes here. Jannah is not a dream, it's a reality. So the answer that I give is that by work for Jannah, once you're there, you'll get all your dreams done. All will be fulfilled. But now you are conducting yourself as though you got your ticket already confirmed in Jannah. It's just a matter of you just boarding the plane to Jannah. Now you're not talking sense. The sensible thing is work for Jannah. Once you've got your place reserved, then inshallah you'll be flying. You'll get everything what you desire for. Nowadays there are some very, very stupid questions. Someone asked this type of question. Because I suppose, you see, in the old days what used to happen, before I wanted to ask a question, so I look for a writing pad. Then you're looking for old days you got fountain pen. Dip that ink, then write, that thing smudging, blot it out, right? And then now you must look for an envelope, and you stick that thing on, then get the person's address, takes another 5-10 minutes, look at the address, then look for a postal stamp, another 5 minutes, then look for a postal box. In the interim, you may have rethought the whole process. Am I right? Should I ask this question here? Is it really needed? Should I rephrase myself? You're giving yourself at least a day to rethink the whole thing. But now, as I got a thought straight away, I'm just typing and sending it straight away. Whether it is thought well, not thought well, whether it's qualified, quantified, is it a mature statement to make or an immature statement to make, I'm not checking anything, just writing and sending it straight away. That person is listening to the story and sending this reply straight away. So the immaturity in the reasoning, in fact, even in the eating, there is a level of immaturity. I have to explain this to the students, you know. Sometimes your eyes are not full, stomach is full. But the eyes are not getting full. Now you just ate biryani, now ate this, some ice cream. You see to yourself, but if I'm not going to eat this, I'm not going to do justice to it. Or just to appease yourself, you're craving for it, or you'll make up a story, if I'm not going to eat this, the wife will not feel not too well. Just to make her comfortable, I'll eat this, right? And after that, they'll pass some tea and some biscuits. What they'll think, if not eating, I don't like their baking. So now, you'll make up a story just to appease yourself. So it is just for the comfort of the eye. And then when you want to eat like that, you're not chewing the food rightly. Eating up, just sending it down. You see a whole variety of savouries and baking there, right? Eat of this and eat of that and eat of that. So you're just eating and filling. So that thing is not getting digested how it's supposed to be getting digested. Right? And the work of your teeth is being done by the stomach. Right? If you chewed it well, the stomach will do its work, the teeth will do its work. Right? And mind you, the more you chew the thing, the less you'll eat and the greater the satisfaction. We think that we fill up the belly, then there's greater satisfaction. It doesn't work like that. But the satisfaction is, you take your time and chew it well. Even if it takes you 20 times or 30 times to chew, go on grinding the thing, grinding it. You will feel much more relaxed here. It will take a little longer, but there will be a greater level of satisfaction. So unfortunately, this is what has happened, that our eyes are not getting filled. And we are becoming impulsive, very quick decision. And that quick decision, we don't understand, we don't realize, we are messing things up. Just sending a news, just sending a message across, just receiving a message, spontaneous to receive, and spontaneous to convey a message. Yeah. In the process, how many divorces are taking place, how many people are getting shot down, how many people are getting into depression, how many problems are coming up. So anyway, what I was getting at is, both the Sahaba Kiram are reporters of hadith, but why is it that Abu Huraira's hadith are greater, right, in any kitab, and this Amr radiyallahu anhu, his hadith are less. Because he's living differently, He's living more in a central place, and he's living a little bit out. So because he's living more in a central place, therefore he's got more access. People have got more access to him. Now for one person, this life is better, where he assimilates, he mixes up, he socializes. So he's got much more opportunities. And for that person, perhaps that type of a life is better. He's living a life of isolation, so he doesn't mix up himself. Doesn't get into wrong and haram, right? So, for one person, this may be better. For the next person, that may be better. And the hadith supports it. So, the best person is, he's got all the access to travel. All the convenience. His passport, his visa, his finances, everything. So, the moment he has a call, it's going. The next best person is that person who's got his sheep, right? Or in other words, his livelihood. Sheep will mean livelihood. He's got his livelihood and he's taking to some isolated spot, whether a mountain spot or whatever, mountain place or whatever. But he's taken to an isolated spot and he's worshipping Allah Ta'ala, saving people from his problems. Right. So, Nabi Sam has categorized us into two groups. One is that person that can socialize and don't get hurt. And the other is that person who socializes and hurts people. So for two people, there's two different lives. For you, this is a better life. For this person, that is a better life. Now you need to work it out, which life is better for which person. Now, in the process, you have a lot of problems, right? To reach up the goal, you have a lot of problems. Because there's a lot of mental gymnastics that your mind plays with you. You think of something, and your thought is, your mind is saying something. Doing something, your mind is saying something else. One woman phoned up from Cape Town, right? Alima. I went to some madrasa, I don't mention the name of the madrasa. So, her complaint over the phone is that I am separated from my husband. I got two children. Right. And I am very well to do. Alhamdulillah, the children are taken care of. But my husband is not supporting. He is not giving any maintenance for the children. So I want to take him to court. So that's the gist of her complaint. So I asked the sister, you got everything, then why do you want to take it to court? She said, no, I want to save him from the azab of the day of Qiyamah. Because he's supposed to be taking care of the children, and he's not taking care. Because he's not taking care, therefore, he'll be under punishment on the day of Qiyamah. So I'm taking him to court so that he can get saved. See how the mind plays games with you, mental games. Now all these problems come because you're not referring to anybody. That person thinks, I'm an alima, so I can sort out my things. That person doesn't know, I listen to this program here, so I can sort out my things. So every person thinks that I can sort out my things. Whereas the system of the world is different, is designed differently. Allah has designed the world that for every fun or every science for that matter, there's someone that will lead you up. Anything, medicine, engineering, law, there is someone that can lead you. That's how Allah Ta'ala has designed the system. Right. Al-Mu'tami Sabahum says, sometimes the child falls sick, right? And the child falling sick is a punishment for the parents. Because the child falling sick, they're only worried about ta'weez, ruqya. But Allah's procedure is by take the right type of medication. You can use some ruqya, etc., but also parallel to that, take the right type of medication. لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءٌ. For every problem, there is a cure. So you are going against the system of Allah, you are bypassing it. When you are bypassing it, Allah doesn't like this. Why are you bypassing the system? I created a system, problem, and there is a cure to the problem. Then go for that healing, the treatment process, go for it. But you bypass it, you just went for the ruqya. As though you are saying that every problem can be sorted out by a ruqya, anything is a jinn, anything is jadu, and you just get a ruqya, get on ta'weez, everything will be sorted out. But if that was the case, you didn't need to open up a shop. You didn't need to get married, right? The ruqya was sorted out, because the jinnats are problems, remove jinnat, otherwise it's sorted out. So, the reasoning is gone off. You adopt the right means, and also ask Allah Ta'ala's protection. You don't only ask the protection of Allah Ta'ala and don't adopt the means, or don't only adopt the means and leave out Allah Ta'ala's trust and asking, begging from Him. So both have to be done. Yusuf alayhi salam, he's confronted with evil. There's no way to escape. There's no way. وغلقت الأبواب وقالت هيت لك. Can you imagine now? He's in a siege now. From all sides, he's sieged up. He's sieged up. He can't move. غلقت الأبواب. The one that has seized him up is as though his mistress, right? That's the mistress. Now for him to escape this, how difficult it is. Your mistress has seized you up. You are covered. She got bodyguards. You got no way to escape. But now, in this type of a very trying situation, what does he do? So the Quran Sharif doesn't just relate it as a story. There's a message, there's a lesson, there's a moral, right? So the first recourse that Yusuf alayhi salam threats, the first recourse, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهُ. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. It's the mistress that's inviting, and she's inviting towards wrong, and she's locked every entrance to that room. Everything has been blocked off, so there's no way for him to escape. So the first recourse is Allah Ta'ala. Ma'az Allah, may Allah Ta'ala protect me, may Allah Ta'ala save me. And I found that so efficient. You know, you see, your mind is stormed with wasawi, straight thoughts. Do this, do that, do this, do that. So the mind is going to be strained. And from saving yourself from that stray thought, getting yourself onto the cause, a very effective thing is to hold to Allah Ta'ala. And not just to hold to Allah Ta'ala, but to hold to Allah Ta'ala with a level of desperation. أَمَّ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. See, Allah Pak says, between Sifat, the first page, that Allah Ta'ala listens to the person that is in desperation. So in your heart, with desperation, Allah Pak, you take care. Your mind is being assailed by stray thoughts, and you don't know what to do. So, أَمَّ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ. Allah Pak, you take care of me. I don't know what to do. In this situation, there's a problem coming from the right, there's a problem coming from the left, from above, from below. Now, where do I go? What do I do? A lot of thoughts are storming against me. Everything is coming up, ganging up against me at one and the same time. I don't know what step I must take. Is the right step? Is the wrong step? Immediately you can't get your sheikh, right? Now imagine in this type of situation, if a girl locks you up now, you can't phone your sheikh. What does you do? Can you? You can't. So the first recourse, Allah Ta'ala. Qala ma'adha Allah. Allah Ta'ala, you take care. I can't take care of myself. So Allah Ta'ala likes this. That's the first point of call. You'll ask, Allah, you take care of me. I can't manage myself. I'll fail. I'll fail miserably. I'll embarrass myself. I'll bring disgrace to myself. Allah Ta'ala, I know what the consequence is going to be. One thing to the other thing and to the other. It will continue. A whole chain of, whole series of wrong will continue from this point. So the easiest point is, Allah, you take care. Man has been so good and so pious, right? And one time he slipped into this type of a wrong, Bishara, his whole reputation is gone. The wife hates him. People don't want to come near him. They disgust him. They hate him. They dislike him. Just one slip. So, can you be ever proud of yourself? Yesterday or the day before, there was some person coming on the door, knocking. You know, Thursday, they come. So some of them will be professional. So some small child says, hey, what's wrong with these people? So I explained, why? Our duty is, if we feel that person is deserving, give him something. We don't despise the person. Because Allah Ta'ala can turn the situation. He can turn the whole thing around, right? Tomorrow you can be in his position and he can be in your position. Who is the turner? He is. Allah Ta'ala turns the whole situation. We were sitting by the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah one day. And one girl, perhaps she must have been about 7 or 8 years of age. And she complains, Hazrat, you know, my father just passed away and we want to do the janazah. So, Hazrat, I talk of 1976 somewhere, right? So, over 40 years ago. So, Hazrat pulled out about 50 rupees and gave it to her. At that time, 50 rupees was quite a bit of money, you know. She could handle the whole thing. I know what was Indian standards at that time, living there, so I know what the standards like. So she went away. When she went away, we asked her, this girl, yes, she made up a story. You could make it out, we could make it out. She made up a story, right? but why did you have to take out the 50 rupees and just give it to her? So his answer was, I did this as a token of appreciation. That had Allah Ta'ala put me in her predicament, I could have been behaving worse. She had to declare her father dead to qualify for some type of assistance, right? She would make up a story and say the father is dead, so I need some type of an assistance, right? But you see the extent that she had to go to, just to get something, just to receive something. Allah Ta'ala saved me from this, so because Allah Ta'ala saved me from this, therefore as a token of appreciation I'm giving something. See how their minds work. So at no point can you be proud or overconfident of yourself or anything that is related to you. You can't be overconfident. It's the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, it is the grace of Allah Ta'ala, it is the favor of Allah Ta'ala. At any given moment, by Allah, it's your grace. And without your grace, وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي لَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. The greatest of Anbiya saying this, that if it was not your forgiveness, not your grace, we'll definitely be in loss. One is to try and work out why that person said this and this person said this. But more important is, are you in the right or not right? You're trying to qualify and work out the next person's statement, why he said this and why didn't he say this. What's more important? The more important I work out your behavior, your pattern, what I'm supposed to be doing, my obligations, my duties, my duty to Allah Ta'ala. Am I on course or have I drifted? After the talk now, everybody wants to put his two cents. You know, Hazrat said this and he said this and he said this. So everybody wants to give his comment. But now the more wise thing is that, right, we try and x-ray ourselves. This was said now, where am I going wrong? My eyes right, my tongue is right, my ears are right, my heart is right, my time is it right? I'm just wasting my time. What am I doing? I'm having lunch now, 2 hours are gone on the lunch table. Does it happen or doesn't it happen? I ask you, does it happen or not? 1.5 hour, 2 hours, doesn't it happen? In a party now, doesn't it happen? 1.5 hour, 2 hours are gone. Nicely is gone. What have you achieved? Well, I can't fulfill my mamulat, But a simple thing like just cutting your other things, that you can't do. The mamulat, everything has to go. Sab tau usi ke par aata hai. All the problems to come onto the mamulat. Everything else can go smoothly. Socializing, talking, that's what they're saying. That for some people, that isolation is better. For some people, that socializing is better. And you don't have a control over your time. You're going to mix up, and mix up, the way you'll mix up, everything will happen. Everything will be washed out from you. So we are talking about now the obstructions that come on the way. How many obstructions come? It's not just one obstruction. And the greatest example are the Anbiya alayhi salam. He's trapped. He's completely trapped. So what he does? The first point of call, he's begging Allah Ta'ala, Ma'az Allah. Allah, you save me. I ask your protection. وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي. Allah, it's not your favor. I'll fall. Miserably I'll fall. I'll bring embarrassment and disgrace to myself. Just in 5 minutes, I will do it. And I'll be in total... I'll be in a total mess. How quick a man's mind can just snap. It's going right, but in a flash of a moment, you can just snap like this. It's so difficult. One saintly person, he took to isolation, So, someone went and seen him, great alim. And he saw him say, but you got so much of knowledge and so much of piety and righteousness and virtue. Had you been in the town, in the center, hundreds of people could have benefited from you. Now you've isolated yourself, you're doing all your farais and all your duties, but now you are isolated, people are not taking time of benefit from you. They can't access you. Had you been in the center, then how much more benefit they could have taken from you? So his answer was, I don't dispute the fact that the town has got so much of blessings, so much of opportunities. I can't dispute that it doesn't have those opportunities. But he says, together with the opportunities it's got, the layer of mud in the town is so thick that even an elephant can slip. There's so much of fitna inside that such a big, huge mass, that thing is walking, that thing can slip and fall. So, when that thing doesn't have a security, you can have an imbalance, what will happen? Mera kya ho jayega? So you see this balance. This balance. In Allah ya'muru bil adl. Allah Ta'ala is commanding justice. That adl can be translated in two ways. One is justice, right? And one is moderation. Right? Justice, one is moderation. So both can be translated as justice. We all know what is justice, right? But the other meaning is moderation. Now moderation will be according to the situation. But what does moderation mean? Today the word moderation is wrongly interpreted. What people take moderation for, you're not meeting up with women and all that. Why? Just be moderate, man. Moderate Islam. Meet up, what's wrong? There's a corporate environment, or you meet up, you smile at her, so isme kya kharabi ho gayi? Be moderate, don't be a fanatic now. So that's the interpretation they gave from their own pockets to suit their situation. But is that the meaning of moderation? See, everybody's got his own interpretation. That's the problem, that everybody has to give his own. Now in, you're comparing the hereafter to this world, what's the meaning of moderation? Moderation will mean in this context, that you work for this dunya according to the life of this dunya. And you work for the hereafter according to the life of the hereafter. Proportionate of your stay to the hereafter, you work for the hereafter. Proportionate to your stay in this world, you work for this. But if it is turned around, that you know you're going to be living, say, 90 years, right? And you have proportioned yourself in this manner, that 80 or 90% you have given it for this dunya, 10% for the hereafter, you say, no, you've gone beyond moderation. You're an extremist. But now if that person turns the thing around, and he works 80%, 90% for his hereafter, and 10% for this world, say, they say he's a fanatic. Does it happen or not? See how our minds have gone all skewed, perverse. So in this context, this is the meaning of moderation. That according to your stay, your life here, you work for this transitory life. According to the stay of the hereafter, you work for that. Now, then you see, now you got the balance right. You can call it moderation, call it the balance, you got the balance right. So, we are explaining the obstructions that come onto this path. And there are so many, so numerous of this obstruction, in my understanding, without a mentor, you can't get that thing right. Your mind can play so much of games, you know, mental gymnastics, so much of games with you. One person, he's thinking to himself, no, I need to change my life. Enough now, I had enough. A lot of things I tasted and enjoyed, cars, women, children, a lot of things I enjoyed, right? So I've tasted everything, enjoyed everything. Now what about the next leg of this journey? What preparations, what arrangements I've made for that? For this I've done everything. Got my children married, I had a grand affair. Birthdays, I did a lot of things, right? Parties and running around, I did everything. The hotels of my choice, I did the type of cars I ran around with, I did everything. But now, the next leg of the journey, what arrangements have I made? The world, the earth is so merciless. Eh? We go around eating of the earth, right? The whole life eating the world. Hey, I got this shirt, that kurta, this car, that type of food. I eat of the world so much, right? And we feel so proud of ourselves. And the earth says, hey, don't worry, I'm a humble person. In one morsel I will eat you up. All your dreams, all your fantasies, all your excitement, in a single morsel I will eat you up. But you see how ruthless the earth is. It behaves like nothing. Main bichara hu, na cheez hu, na kara hu, right? But in one morsel it wipes you out. Flattened you, straight. So this person is working in his mind, you know. If I'm going to do it myself, I'm going to slip. Because my mind may say something and there'll be a counter answer, you know. My mind is saying something and there'll be a counter reason. Now the mind wants to play games because it doesn't want to lose its freedom. It doesn't want to lose its freedom, so it's going to play games. You suggest anything to it and it'll counter. You suggest again and it wants to counter. So until and unless we didn't learn to tie ourselves, no one will come right. No matter what you did. Now to learn how to tie yourself, that's an important thing. How to tie yourself. See, you say, dunya, sijnul mu'min. It's a jail. So when it's a jail, it's supposed to be a jail for a mu'min, that means you are on course as long as you consider yourself to be in a jail. But the moment you think that you are free, then you are wrong. Some years back, I was walking on this road here, you know. So, very wealthy person, right? Professor also and a wealthy person. So he saw me, and there was some acquaintance. So he just stopped his work, terrible mood, you know. So I could see his mood is terrible, he's worried, he's worked up for some reason. I said, no, just sit down. So now, I didn't want to break him now. So I sat down. Then, as I sat down, now he's telling me, well, you know, had I been young, I would have been a Christian. I can't tell him anything because he's emotional. He's really worked up and he's very, very emotional. And I can't tell him anything. You know, there's an occasion, there's a time to say things. People want to tell him straight. But very few people have got the capacity to digest straight. In a general talk, you can just outline it. Well, now you must have the capacity, then have the strength to accept it. You must come call me separately and talk to me separately, then I'll feel right. I'll talk to you separately, then you'll counter. I'll say one thing, you'll say two things. Now, I did this because of this. So there's not going to be any closure to this. So a problem comes up, straighten it, right? The cap fits you, wear it, put it on. Now, more than the Islam and the righteousness, you are worried about your reputation. Kaam kis tarah se banega? You're trying to rectify, and the man is more worried about the reputation. Now, is that in keeping with the Sunnah? See the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. La yantaqimu li nafsi. He will not punish anybody for himself. Walakin idha untuhika hurumatillah. If any law of Allah Ta'ala was transgressed, then he would react. If the limits of Allah Ta'ala are transgressed, then he would react. Now the whole process, we are worried about our reputation. Log hamare mutalliq kya rai qaim karenge? What they'll think about us? What they'll say about us? And how will we feel? You know, being smashed down, shot down all the time. So phir islah ka kaam kis tarah se hoga? Then you go somewhere else, right? Then we can't do the islah. Then every step now, what he will say, what this person will say, what this person will say, islah ka kaam hoga. That islah, can it happen? Can't happen. You bring in your car, right, for a service, the person has to tell you all your problems. Whether he notifies the whole branch, or he keeps it to himself, but he'll have to correct it. Say, this is the problem. And you have to accept it. And then you'll be going on course. But if you don't, you're worried about your reputation. I've got this car has got this problem here. What will be my reputation like? Bhai, tumhara islah to ho gaya. Sit in your home. Sala khaya. Sit down. So, this person is working it out within himself that I need to correct myself. And to get myself corrected, I need to be in shackles. If I'm not shackled, I can't correct myself. And then my reputation can go, it's alright. Now, if a person is coming with that frame of mind, is moving. I tell you, he's moving, really. I need this thing here, and I need to move. Al-Mu'ar Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah used to say to other Sheikh's family, you know, that, you know, you people are such, that when you come on the path, you come on right, then in 1 second, the amount of progress you make is like what it would take years for the next person to cover. So they're coming with such a mind, you know, that whatever islah, whatever correction has to be done, man is accepting straight. It's given and he's accepting straight. So then it's a beauty, it's a wonder to work. Otherwise the person is, you know, how will you feel about the whole thing? I'm getting smashed down, I'm getting shot down, it's very difficult, very hard. But kya kaam hoga phir? That every step say, you alright, bhai? Please, I'm going to do this for you now, you know. There can't be any work there. So anyway, he's working it out in himself. You know, I'm going to be in shackles, in chains. So he said, no, boy, I need to go and correct myself. Come what may. Because I had a lot of freedom. Now I need to do something for my own self, for my own protection. So he went to one sheikh. The sheikh says, go make istikhara. He spent about 3-4 hours after that, comes to the sheikh, You made the istikhara. Yeah, I made the istikhara. What happened? In 3 hours, just in 3 hours, you made it. What happened? He said, no, I went and discussed it with my mind. So my mind told me, it answered me, but you're going to go do all these things here, you have to tie yourself. You're going here, you're going to ask. If it's not to your betterment, they'll tell you, don't do it. If it's not better for your akhirat, they'll ask you, just stop. So it's not going to be for your betterment, you'll chain yourself up, you'll shackle yourself up. You are enjoying freedom, why must you go into these chains? Now we're talking of Islah, we're talking of correction at a higher level, right? One is basic level. We are generally at basic level. But I'm talking of a higher level, right? You know, you got a fighter jet. The speed that it travels, someone told me, from Durban to Pretoria take 12 minutes. From Durban to Pretoria, in 12 minutes they cover the distance. So now you're talking of that engine, you know, that type of engine, you know, move with speed. Allah give us that speed. Because we don't want to be landing up on the hereafter to understand, no, hey, you lost it. So I've just swallowed that humble pie, just ate it, whatever it costed, today you wouldn't have had the regrets. But now we don't want to take on that humility and we want it to happen. You know, to get the right formation, then you need to be putty. Right? So the person that wants to design you can design you accordingly. But I want to be a rock hard and design me now. You give one punch, hey, I'm getting hurt. Another one punch, you get hurt. A motor car is smashed up and dented, right? You need to take it for panel beating for that thing to get its price. You give one shot, hey, I'm getting hurt. So your panel beating can come, hoga kabhi. Will it come right? So you need to come with that mind that I want to get beaten up and I must be prepared for that beating up. Now I'm talking of the higher level of Islam, I'm not talking of a primary level. Primary level, they say, read your namaz, make zikr, tilawat, all that, carry on. But now as you're coming up, then you need a panel beating, you need a smashing down. And then with a smashing down, then you come up. And I don't think there is a buzur who didn't go through the smashing. They smashed him properly, nicely. Gave it to him. And then in that, there were those that souls that were fortunate. They just accepted it and they carried on. So his mind is telling him, he's relating to his sheikh that I went and made my istikhara. So my mind is telling me, why are you going to chain yourself? You're enjoying freedom. You go to Joburg, want to go here, you're enjoying life. Now, why must you curtail and chain yourself? So he says to his mind, lekin main apne aap ko bandh lunga, zanjeer mein jakar jaunga. I will tie myself within a chain. Khuda to mil jayega. If I tie myself like this, everything, you know, I'm chained. Someone is leading me all the time. Then I will get Allah Ta'ala at the end of this whole path, I'll get Allah Ta'ala. So what a great bargain, you know. I went through the little bit of humiliation, little bit of difficulty I went through. But at the end I got Allah Ta'ala, what a great thing. Right. Now you go and compare yourself with the Sahaba Kiram, the difficulties they went. Just to be on the right, Bilal, Suhaib, Ammar, Yasir, Sumayya, everybody went through some patch. Musa alayhi salam went through a patch. He had to escape for his life. He had to graze sheep for 10 years. He did that anytime, one day. Yeah? Maybe someone that was living in a farm, maybe grazed now and then, right? But did you ever do that? So they had to go through that patch. That humility had to be learned. You can't blow your top on that animal. You blow your top, you lose that animal. So Allah Ta'ala put that Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam also through the same difficulty. Bear, endure, be patient. And once they passed that examination of patience, then they were escalated. You want to bypass that and go straight, kisa hoga bhai, kis tarah se hoga. From grade 1 you want to shoot up to university straight. Does it happen? It can happen as a karamat, right? But karamat doesn't always happen. Now and then some isolated case, it happened. So he's answering his mind by Allah Ta'ala mil jayega. In the process, I will get Allah Ta'ala. So now his mind is counting. You know, I say you get mental games. The mind's playing games with you. So now the mind is saying, but what guarantee have you got that you will definitely get Allah Ta'ala? it's a valid question, valid objection. What guarantee have you got that you will get Allah Ta'ala? You know, I'm paying the price, and will it work out for me or not? I'm paying the price, will I get to Umrah? Or I'll just get a Mujamala visa, what will I get? I think with this eBay, a lot of things you learn. A lot of things you learn. What you didn't come across, you just learn it. So now, he had to put the closure to this whole debate that's carrying on in his mind. So he told his mind, you see, even if I don't get Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will see that I tried to get him. And he will look at me favorably. Man amira saliham min dhakarin aw unsa. Man arada al-akhirata wa sa'alaha sa'ayha. Your intention was right, and you made a corresponding effort, you tried. Right. So the basic two conditions with iman is your intention is right, and you worked in that direction. فَوْلَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Allah is giving you the guarantee by your effort is appreciated. It is recognized, we appreciate your effort. What else you want when Allah has given you a guarantee that I appreciate your effort? What else you want? فَوْلَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُمْ مَشْكُورًا. But there's about 5 or 7 minutes left. Huh? How many minutes left? 8 minutes. From yesterday and today, I don't know how many calls about Rajab. I think our South African crowd is, they don't like to be very calm and composed, peaceful life, they don't like. They want exciting, excitement, some drama, some type of entertainment. Islam is not for entertainment. Just to make us understand how our elders, how they looked at life. This Rajab thing came up now, right? But I just want to show how our elders took it. It was now Darul Uloom Deoband, and the person in charge of the masjid was Haji Abid Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi. Great buzurg, great saintly person. But very soft at heart. You get some buzugana, they're very soft at heart. Someone says, is tarah se hona chahiye, theek hai. Is tarah se karo, theek hai. They're very soft at heart. You get some buzug like that, they give in, right? So one person came in, and he requested Haji Abid Hussain Sahib that it's the last khutbah of Ramadan. When it's the last khutbah of Ramadan, let me deliver it. Now in his softness, in his humility, he said, alright, carry on. Now, in the last khutbah of Ramadan, now he started giving a half an hour, over half an hour, he's pulling in the crowd. I don't know if you've seen this Indian masjid. So, about say quarter of the masjid is covered, and three quarter is open. In the hot, in the summer, you know, Jummah is after Zawal, right? Midday. So the temperature is going 40, 45 and people are exposed. And he is starting with his khutbah going on, you know. Al-Wada, Ya Ramadan. I don't know, someone must have heard, in the old days they used to give it, right? And he's going on. As he's going on, Anwar Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was in that khutbah, he was there. So bhai, khutbah ko khatam karo. Log pareshan ho rahe. End your khutbah, because people are going, they're going through some difficulty, they're exposed to the sun there. There's no fans here. In the covered area, in the exposed area, they're exposed to the sun. So you really, really putting them to their paces. So just end up the khutbah and complete the namaz. So, dekho is Wahhabi ko. Khutbah mein baat karta hai. Look at this Wahhabi. And in the khutbah he's talking. At a certain point in time, when they want to run any person down, they just label him as Wahhabi. Anything. Any wrong thing, Wahhabi. I don't like you, Wahhabi. Even if he's a Hindu, I don't like him, he's a Wahhabi. So there was the greatest insult at a certain time. You run someone down, just say he's a Wahhabi. Say, Wahhabi, dekho, khutbah mein baat karta hai. Khutbah time he's talking. So, Mullah told him, tu kya wahabi kehta hai? You are the position ke tumhare haath ko pakad kar niche utar diya jaye. You are the position that we should pull you from the member, put you onto the ground. Because you can see what's happening to the people there. And now he's representing. Darun Deoband ulama, alhamdulillah, right up to recent, there were always some a group of ulama that just said it. Whatever they need to say, they would say it. Alright, they were not ruthless, they were not radicals, they wouldn't make just irrational statements. One is just to say Kabar Pujari and all irrational statements. And one is they say the truth, but correctly. The right thing at the right place, the right approach, with the right intention. But that's a difficult one. To make just irrational statements, that's very easy. But balance, right approach, right thing at the right time, that's a very difficult one. Very, very difficult. You have to be so, so disciplined and so balanced. So, anyway, he completed the khutbah and the crowd was not eager in allowing him to perform the namaz. Said, no, we don't want you to perform the namaz. They asked Mawla Gangai Sarang, Mawla says, no. Because people will feel now that because I wanted to lead the namaz, therefore I stopped him. So now I declined, I'm not going to lead the namaz. Anyway, they asked Mawla Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, he led the namaz. After the namaz, Mawla Gangai Sahib left the masjid straight. And now this person here, after the sunnah, says, well, Wahhabi kaha hai? Where's that Wahhabi? I'm going to get him, I'm going to fix him up. Why is gone? So you see what he did? He avoided the whole situation. A'arid anil jahili. See how to fix it up, but also to avoid this unnecessary bickering and shouting, arguing. What is not required, it doesn't. You don't require that. Just move it out. Move it. Turn away from it. Just ignore the thing. Do what you're supposed to be doing, and all these unnecessary things that come up, just avoid it totally. Just focus on your work and move on. Now, that's a difficult one. It's a very difficult one, but that's the right thing, that's a sensible thing to do. Because you're not wasting your time in all these irrelevant things. You know, between you and Allah Ta'ala, you did what was supposed to be done. Right? And then people have their own, you can't stop people's tongues, you can't stop their minds. Their minds will keep thinking, their tongues will keep working, their pens will keep writing. So you can't avoid that. But as long as you know between you and Allah Ta'ala that you did the right thing, after that, don't worry about them. A'arid anil jahil. You just don't be concerned of what they will do. Because if you are obsessed with what people think about you, then you have to adjust your life at every step. Or what will people think of me now? What do they think of me now? And what is the public impression about me now? That's a sign of deficiency. You're so worried about people's impression. If you are confident of yourself, you know it, then you're not consumed what people think about yourself. But if you're not confident, you're not sure about yourself, you're too worried. So Mawla left. In the meanwhile, this person is shouting. Mawla Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah is reading his sunnats. And he can hear this person shouting. So Mawla says, I was really worked up, you know. I wanted to give him a piece of my mind. But nonetheless, I thought the better thing is just to continue lengthening my namaz. I lengthened my namaz. He shouted a little bit. And nobody paid attention to him. Everybody is gone, dispersed. He was just shouting at the walls and he also left. Nobody to listen to his shouting. You know, the shouting can only go right if there's an audience. If there's no audience, then what happened to your shouting? You've got someone receiving your shouting, then you will feel motivated to say something more. But there's nobody listening to you then. But now you see our Buzugaradin, this Rajab thing just started off, this incident just flashed in my mind, so let me share it with you.